Good morning. Some of you may know and some of you may not, but Chris had a cardiac arrest during the week. So if you could pray for Stuart and Chris over the coming week, I'm sure they'd appreciate your prayers. The notices for the coming week are as follows. On Wednesday, the prayer meeting will be held at 8 p.m. on Zoom. On Friday, the church cafe will meet in the church hall at 10 a.m. and the craft group will meet 10 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Next Sunday's service will be led by David Spriggs and the worship warriors will meet in the Jubilee Hall. I've got some copies of Word for today. I've given some out to people I know have one, but there are some more at the back. If there's none left, come and see me and I'll see what I can do. They're all the notices for this morning. It's my pleasure to welcome Sue this morning to our service. Thank you very much, Sue. It's lovely to have you back.
And it's lovely to be here. So good morning and welcome. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. Amen. Well done. Amen. And so we're going to begin our worship with that great hymn, When Morning Gilds the Skies, My Heart Awakening Cries. May Jesus Christ be praised. So we come to our prayers of praise and thanks. Let's pray. May Jesus Christ be praised. Lord, in this time of Eastertide, Father God, we thank you so much that we're only here this morning because of the resurrection of Jesus. We thank you, Lord and Father, for all the good things that you have done in this world. We praise you, Lord, that you are the creator God, that you set the universe in motion and you sustain and uphold it. But Lord, again, we just thank you for coming to earth in the human form of Jesus and being willing to die and take on board the whole of the sins of the world, past and present and future, so that we can have a share in eternity with you. Father God, as we remember how great you are, we thank you for the things you do for us. We thank you, Lord, that we have a measure of health to get here this morning. We thank you, Lord, that this church is open and stands here as a witness to you for the long time it all has already stood. And Lord, we thank you that we too can be witnesses to you. Thank you, Lord, for our homes, our families, our friends, our church friends, the fellowship that we have with them. Father God, we thank you for all the material things we have. But Lord, we praise you and thank you most of all for being our Saviour and our Redeemer. And Lord, as we bring our praise and our thanks, we do remember people specifically who need our prayers this morning. We think about Chris Rees, Lord, in intensive care. Father God, she's had so many problems and illnesses in her life. And Lord, she must be quite frightened to be where she is now. We pray for her and for Stuart and the rest of the family as they minister to her, as they care for her. And we pray, Lord, that she will come through this and be stronger for it. We pray too, Lord, for Rona's cousin and his family. Her cousin Yuri passed away just recently, Lord, and unexpectedly. And Lord, it's so upsetting when that happens. So, Father, we pray for that family as they mourn the loss of Yuri. We pray especially for Rona, that she will have your peace in her heart as she remembers him and says goodbye to him. Lord, we bring all these prayers together as we say the family prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. A few weeks ago, I was taking service at our Attleborough Wesleyan Reformed Church, and it was the Sunday between Mothering Sunday and Palm Sunday. Now, I don't know whether you know that little verse, Mothering Sunday, Care Away, Palm Sunday, Easter Day. So when I was thinking about the service, I thought, if it was any of the other three, I'd have my theme ready there. But Care Away, what on earth does that mean? I looked it up and I found that it was actually could be called Carling Sunday. And that was very weird because it was all about people eating beans on that day, and that's a service for another day. But after the service, Margaret Bissaker, that some of you will know because she used to sing in the United Choir here with us, came to me and she said, did you know that the Sunday after Easter is called Quasimodo Sunday? Quasimodo? I thought she was pulling my leg, because the only Quasimodo I'd ever heard of was the Hunchback of Notre Dame. So when I got home, I looked it up, and she was right. She said that it was the answer to a quiz question. And apparently, although this Sunday can be called Low Sunday or Divine Mercy Sunday, it can also be called Quasimodo Sunday. And Quasimodo means, or rather Quasimodo Genitae Infantes in Latin, means like newborn infants. And of course there's a passage in one of Peter's epistles where he writes, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. But whatever we call this Sunday, it doesn't matter, because what matters is that Easter Sunday was only the beginning. And in some churches, this period between Easter Sunday and Pentecost is called Easter Tide. So we carry on thinking about the meaning of Easter, the day that changed things forever. And the next song that we're going to sing reminds us that Jesus had a unique purpose to destroy all the evil in the world and reign supreme. And it gives us the opportunity, when we trust him, to find a way back to God and the promise of life with him forever. Now, Dave tells me you haven't sung this for a while here, but when we come to the chorus, the men have to really give it some oomph. The men sing the first line of the chorus and the women echo it. It is, for this purpose, Christ was revealed. So stand as you're able and let's sing.
Very short introduction, so I get ready.
Can we take up the offering, please? Father God, you know how much we have received this week or this month, and you know where it's come from. You know how much we've spent and what we've spent it on. And Lord, you know what we give and the spirit in which we give it. Father, bless these gifts that they will be extended, used for the extension of your kingdom, to show love to more people. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to come to our prayers for others and ourselves in a particular way. And just this morning, I read this very short paragraph in my Christianity magazine. Jesus is the one who offers us a vision of manhood and humanity that runs counter to the dominant narratives we have in our society today. Instead of brute strength and dominance, we find sacrificial servanthood. Instead of violence, we find gentleness. Instead of hatred, we find a love poured out for all. We're going to remain seated and sing a hymn that's, I believe it's only used usually on Remembrance Day, but it seemed particularly appropriate to this day and age, Hope for the World's Despair. But we're going to do it in this way. I'm going to say a short prayer, just a couple of sentences before each verse. Then we'll remain seated and sing through that verse, and then I'll say the next part. So let's pray. Lord, we are living through terrible, frightening times, with wars waged by power-mad leaders. We pray for those affected by the current crises in the world, that you will change the hearts of leaders, heal the wounded, comfort those who have lost people they loved, and bring your peace. And so we sing, and it's a familiar tune, Hope for the World's Despair. Country, as well as those around the world, we pray wisdom and courage for leaders to make the best decisions in line with your standards to keep people safe. And Lord, may we always do our part in helping those wise decisions through our democratic right to have our say. Father God, we pray for the victims of war and of natural and man-made disasters whose lives are at risk of death, disability, bereavement, and loss of homes and livelihoods, that they will have a sense of your presence with them and that we will never forget them. We think of people we know who are caught up in any kind of trouble, that takes away their peace of mind. Medical diagnoses, family or money problems, loss and grief. And we pray, Father God, that through your goodness, they will find a measure of peace to help them through the difficult times and look forwards towards a brighter future with you. Finally, Lord, we pray for ourselves. We're human, with all the limitations that brings, but help us, Father God, to turn more and more to you and to be able to sow seeds of the good news of the loving sacrifice that Jesus made for all our weaknesses and to do our part in bringing peace to the people around us. Now Rod is going to bring us the first reading.
The reading is taken from Psalm 84, verses 5 to 12. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage, as they pass through the valley of Baca. They make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord, God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favour on your anointed one. Better is the day in the courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good things does he withhold from those who walk in blamelessness. Lord God, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Amen.
Thank you, Rod. It's easy to do things or try to do things in our own strength, but as the next song reminds us, it's not us, it's Jesus in us. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Please stand as you're able and join in this.
Another short introduction.
Thank you.
The second reading is taken from John chapter 20 and starting at verse 19, and it should come up on the screen. Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they're not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." May the Lord add his understanding to that passage. I wonder what you think of when you hear the word peace. There are lots of different definitions or different ways of thinking about peace. And I'm sure in the forefront of all our minds, in the current situation in the Middle East, is that peace there would mean the absence of war. And listening to the news this morning, those talks that were happening between the Vice President and Iran have come to nothing. The war still goes on. But peace in that context means the absence of war. And even if that conflict ends, there are still other conflicts going on in the world, like in Ukraine and Sudan and other places, and there have been throughout history. Peace can mean for us something different. Peace can mean the absence of stress and noise and busyness. Maybe we say after the grandchildren have gone home at last, peace at last. Or maybe if we're caring for someone who's ill or very elderly and who make a lot of demands and have continuous needs, we say when they are settled, Oh, peace and quiet. You know what I mean. There's other examples. And then there's peace of mind. Now, I have to tell you, I've been quite nervous at coming back here after such a long time. And I know most of you, but there are some people that I don't know well. And I'd prepared very thoroughly. I had got my PowerPoint and my order of service over to Dave in good time. I'd prayed a lot. And yet, when I finished on Friday, I thought, preparing, I printed off my message and I put it by my bedside with the idea of yesterday morning I would just read through it, make any little corrections. And I didn't have peace of mind. And in the morning, yesterday morning, 5:30, quite late for me really, with my first cup of tea, I picked up my message. And I felt the Lord say to me, no, put it down again and do your normal quiet time. And so I did. And at the moment, my morning quiet time with the Lord consists of a long list of praying for people and their needs. But I use Lectio 365. And if you don't already use that and you've got access to a phone, it's a wonderful app to use because it takes you through passages from the Bible, prayers, meditations, just for about 10 minutes in the morning. And you can do one at midday and evening as well. I only use the morning usually, but it's a great thing to have. So I use that. For Lent, I didn't give up anything. Well, I did, but it was halfway through, so it didn't really count. But instead, I decided I would reread a book called Celebration of Discipline, which was written in the 1980s, and I've gone through it time after time, well, several times, and I was underlining things in each section. And there was that. And then also, I read an article from my Christianity magazine, a different one to what that quote came from. And lo and behold, in all of those three things, there were things that talked to me, that spoke to me about what I should be talking about this morning. And I said, oh Lord, thank you. Now I have some measure of peace of mind. Because I felt then, when I looked to revise my talk, God was saying, no, you don't need to say that. But you perhaps do need to mention that. So my peace of mind came after I had really given it back to the Lord and taken on board what he was saying to me. Those disciples that we just read about, they were blessed to live in the time of Jesus and to know him in his bodily form. And they must have been absolutely devastated on the Saturday between Good Friday and Easter Day when they'd seen him killed in that horrific way on the cross. And they must have been thinking, well, is this the end then? Did all that he'd been saying to them in the 3 years he'd been with them mean nothing after all? Or maybe they were just supposed to take his teachings on board and then live in the light of them, live well in the light of them. They must have been in despair, confusion, desperation, doubt, and fear of what would happen to them. They could have had no peace of mind on that day following his crucifixion. But maybe in the lead up to Easter, you were perhaps reminded, as I was, of that saying of Tony Campolo's at Spring Harvest many years ago. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Good Friday, this terrible event of the crucifixion, but Easter is coming. He's rising on Easter Day. And then last Sunday, you may well have said, hallelujah, he is risen. And we can say that because we live in this age after Jesus had ascended to heaven, and we have the Gospels and the Epistles, the letters, all of the New Testament that tell us what happened afterwards. The disciples, of course, didn't have that on that Saturday. So when, by the time that they had processed the resurrection and written it down, spoken it to different people. It didn't get written down for some time afterwards. But they then could look back and say, of course, why didn't we believe Jesus? He died, but he's risen. He's alive again. And we have that advantage of knowing that already. We know the end of the story, or actually the beginning, as that phrase says, the day that things change forever. This was a supernatural event. And on that day in that upper room before Jesus appeared, there may have been some disciples who'd actually seen him raise Lazarus from the dead some little time before. But maybe even then they rationalised it. Well, was Lazarus really dead, or was he just in a coma? Maybe he was raised in the coolness of the tomb. And like Thomas in that upper room, who needed to touch the risen body of Jesus Christ before he could accept the incredible fact, there are many, many people today who will ridicule the idea that Jesus did die. He was a real person, he died, but then came back to life, and he came back not weak, not disabled, not needing somebody to carry him to the upper room, but he walked there. They'll ridicule that very idea. And he walked into that room through a locked door, we're told, and he talked, and later on he ate with his disciples and he cooked fish for them on the beach. He was there. He was there in bodily form. Changed, yes, but still in bodily form that they could recognise. It's amazing. It's outside of anything we ever experience, isn't it? It doesn't make sense. And yet, it's the only thing that does make absolute sense in this broken world. Top of the news this week, surprisingly to me, with all that's happening in the world, top of the news has been this latest mission into space. But in spite of the billions of dollars spent, that in my opinion could be used much more wisely to relieve the need on this earth of so many people who are suffering, and also to create a more sustainable environment for us here when you think about global warming. In spite of all that money that was spent, no one will ever find God out there in space, however far they go, whatever they do. Because God's kingdom is on a different plane, a different level altogether. The spiritual world that we can only catch glimpses of now and then, because it's outside of time. It's outside of our experience. And eternity for us is not living forever on Mars with special pills and the space station, whatever it is that they're hoping to do, but it's finding peace with God so that our eternity begins here on earth and is fulfilled, as we believe, in heaven. In a little craft group that I attend at my church I go to now, the Baptist Church in Burbage, we were talking, I don't know how it came about, we were talking about what will our bodies be like when we get to heaven. Will we recognise each other? Will we have our own personalities? One person said, oh dear, I don't want to look like this. Yeah. And another person said, well, I don't want to take all my aches and pains with me. And of course, that won't happen. We may look the same, but it will be a perfect version. Not too big, not too small, not with funny teeth and eyes and all the other things that we, disabilities, whatever. We won't have any of those because we will be there in bodily form, recognisable. This is my understanding anyway. And I understand it like that because Jesus appeared to his disciples, not only in the upper room and later on, if you remember, on the road to Emmaus, he was walking along with two people who didn't recognise him until He broke bread with them till he ate with them. Then they recognised it was the risen Jesus. But also, not only then, but also at the Transfiguration sometime before. And he was on the mount, on a mount with Peter, James and John, and he was transfigured. In other words, he glowed. And also two prophets appeared with him, Moses and Elijah. And they were in bodily form. They were recognisable men. So much so that the disciples with Jesus said to them, "Oh, we'll build shelters for you." So they looked like humans, which they had been. And so they had come from heaven for that particular time. And that's what I believe we will be like. Perfect, made perfect. No more bad thoughts, no more whatever your particular vice is or whatever. We will be made perfect. But back to the main point of this message. When the women had been to the tomb and they had told their exciting news to the apostles, who didn't believe them at first until Peter and others went and saw that Jesus had left the tomb, when they were in the upper room, they were waiting, I suppose, for Jesus to appear. And he did. He came to them miraculously through that closed, locked door. And what was it he said to them, first of all? He said that phrase, "Peace be with you." And to say that they were stunned by his presence is an understatement. The feelings that they'd had before he came of disappointment, disillusionment, despair, began to disappear. And the beginnings of the tentative hope that they'd had when first they were told by the women and Peter who'd been to the tomb were now changing to excitement and joy because they could see the risen Jesus. And yet some of them must still have been shaking their heads, rubbing their eyes, wondering if they were just seeing an illusion or a ghost. They might have been in a different kind of turmoil to where they'd been only minutes before. No wonder Jesus said those words, "Peace be with you." What does that mean for us? How can we have the peace in our lives and situations that Jesus wants us to have here and now, as his disciples now in 2026? We're witnessing all the time on the news war, extreme poverty, disasters in the wider world, and we see them all the time through the media. And closer to home, we hear of debt, of illness, bereavement, relationship problems, anxiety, depression, many things that we or the people closest to us are suffering. How can we have real peace? Can you put the next slide up, please? I know I've used this quote here before. Peace does not mean to be in a place where there's no noise, trouble, or hard work. It means to be in the midst of those things and still be calm in your heart. We're living with the effects of what's happening in the world. We can't avoid that. We're living with our own concerns and worries for the future or for the difficulties of the people that we love. But we can find a kind of peace for a short time. We can have a break from routine, find a quiet place, but there's never going to be a time and place where everything is just perfect, not in this life. But the second part, we can take on board with the help of God. To be amongst all the awful things happening in the world, all the personal things happening to us, if we can be in the midst of those things, we can find the peace of Jesus in our hearts and minds. But it's only Jesus that can give that real peace. and it's only believing in him, only trusting that he is in charge, that will help us to change. I was reminded of a line from a hymn: through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, the praises of my God shall still my heart and tongue employ. That's a big ask if we are going through difficult times. But we can't do it in our own strength, and that's the important thing. We sang many times as a choir, "I'll go in the strength of the Lord." Great, we sing it and we think, yes, I'll do that. We sing, "The battle belongs to the Lord." Yes, great, while I'm singing it. But then we go away and we take on board again our worries, our concerns, our sadnesses. We need to keep giving them back to the Lord. And because we can't do it in our own strength, that part of verse 21 is so important. Jesus goes on again to say to his disciples, and to us, because we're his disciples now, if we believe, "Peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit." When we believe, we're not alone. We have all the power that the Spirit of God gives us through his Spirit, through that supernatural thing that we believe in, and we have that to lean on. Peter, again, in his first epistle, says to the readers, "Cast all your cares on him, for he careth for you." Of course we need to continue to pray for wars to stop and peace to be established between nations, but we also need to be at peace with ourselves, in our relationships with God, and importantly, our relationships with other people. Nothing destroys our peace more than being out of sorts with someone or having unforgiveness in our hearts. And the disciples and we are commissioned by Jesus in those last days on earth to forgive and to enable others to forgive. And most importantly of all, to go out of our way to tell others of the wonderful love of God. And so today, whether you're a mature Christian, whether you're a doubter like Thomas, whether you're someone that's just curious to know more about this Jesus, or whether you're something in between all of those, Jesus knows you. And he knows exactly what you need now, at this moment in your life. And as that verse from Proverbs 3 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't rely on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." That may mean accepting Jesus for the first time, or it may mean changing something in our lives. It may be that God's asking something new of us, just as he did of his disciples who were now, in that passage, tasked to spread the good news of his resurrection and the hope that brought to humankind after he returned to heaven. But never alone, always in the power of his Spirit. Let's pray. Father, help us to put more of our trust in you every day, in every situation, focusing our minds completely on you so that we may experience the perfect peace you promise. Amen. And our closing hymn was written by a man, he was a lawyer and a Presbyterian elder in a church in the 19th century, who had lost, tragically, four of his daughters, young children, in a shipwreck. His name was, Horace Spafford. And he wrote this wonderful hymn that we're going to end with. "When peace like a river attendeth my soul." And it says, hopefully we'll all be able to say, "It is well with my soul." And if you can't, then please speak to somebody, get some help, and most of all, ask Jesus to help you. Let's sing. May the peace of the Lord that passes all understanding guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, today and always. Amen.